Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. When people begin to put more emphasis on visions, on encounters, on dreams, than the Word of God, they are so able to get off track. Amen? And I really believe there's a lot of prophetic people who are really off track. And so you will never get off track holding on to God's Word. Amen? And then asking Him to reveal His Word, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus in the Word, asking the Holy Spirit. The Word is the plumb line, amen? The Word is everything. And then what God wants to reveal and add to that doesn't take away from or change the Word is powerful, amen? Never make doctrine based on somebody's book you read and their vision. It's hard when people say, oh, I heard God or I see God. Some people act like they go into heaven like every other day. Isn't that amazing that Paul only records, I believe, one extreme visit to heaven that was so powerful he couldn't even write down what was told him. He certainly wasn't trying to sell tapes and books and CDs and conferences off of it. And he was so changed. And look at the life, what he went through and what he did. And then you have John, the Revelator, went into heaven once and got the book of Revelations. And look how powerful that is. But he did it while he was doing slave labor as a punishment for not denying Christ. Now, these are some really powerful men of God who did powerful things, who had these extremely powerful visitations to heaven, right? And I really believe in the body of Christ, through selfish ambition, people are making this like something they do all the time. And I really believe when God does something so powerful, that there's going to be an extreme amount of fruit from it, and it's not going to be building a ministry or making all money off of it. Amen? And so I just want us to be people of the Word. Do I believe in encounters? Yes, I have encounters with God pretty much every day. I mean, I had a two-hour encounter with God today, and I had the encounter with God while I'm listening to His Word being read. Amen? And it's glorious, just absolutely powerful, glorious. And I know He's teaching me from His Word, even as I'm in His presence. Amen? And I won't even know for sure all that He put in me with His Word as the seed, amen, until it starts coming out 30, 60, 100-fold when I begin to give revelation on it. I just want us to really, as we're building ourselves as living stones, amen, as we're being built as living stones, we want the main thing that's being built in us is the Word of God. Amen? Not in our brains, but in our hearts. Those who know, I won't say names because I'm trying to behave anymore when I do this so they don't have to edit so much. But someone who's been with the ministry for years and years had a complete breakdown that lasted over 7 months where they really... But God didn't give them an encounter to bring them out of this complete breakdown. It's actually the Word of God that they had placed in their heart came up and told them to rejoin the land of the living from Psalms 27. They're totally changed. They're no longer, they still have all the same issues, but now it's in faith. Now the Word of God is building something. It's amazing. I'm sitting there, I'm like in amazement because I've waited, 15 years to see this breakthrough in this person's life. And like the Lord showed me, only He can do it. But it was the faithfulness of that person holding on to the Word and holding on to the Word until that Word, and the enemy came to do all that he could do to destroy this person. But the Word was planted in her, and it basically rolls her up from a place of really insanity back into the land of the living. How cool is God? This is about God and His Word and His Holy Spirit as he reveals the Father. And that's what it's always going to be about. It's not about us. Amen? It's not about us. It shouldn't be about us. It's about God. And so I'm just saying this to say we want to be a people who get in his word and ask that his word get in our heart. Amen? I want this word to be living inside of me. Amen. When I preach this word, oh, I want it to be life that just busts through things and you get changed and you don't even know how. Amen. And then your brain kind of understands it and your brain starts to reread it and think on it and meditate on it. But the change is in your spirit. So let's go to, we're finally, you guys ready? We're finally on 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 1. All right. You're going to have to go get the teaching to find out what the therefore is there for. But, and the therefore he's talking about here, therefore laying aside all malice, the therefore is because of this awesome, powerful salvation we have in Jesus Christ that he explained in 1 Peter. This wonderful spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, you know, that we have. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all evil speaking. Okay, so what are we supposed to be doing? Why are we here on Tuesday nights? We're here to lay aside these things. What does lay aside mean? It means I make a choice that this thing that operates in my life is going to be crucified. It is no longer going to be how I handle things. I'm no longer going to handle things through malice. What's malice? It's an evil intention of your heart to ruin somebody else's reputation. Okay? It's where you want somebody not to like somebody. You want somebody to think badly about somebody. And that's your intention in the little subtle thing you say or the thing you post or the thing you want somebody to read. There's a malice intention. I want to hurt this person. I want people not to like this person. I want people not to believe this person. Amen? So he says to believers, who's he talking to? Who are the apostles talking to in these letters? Believers. Amen? Well, wait a minute. Believers are saved. I thought we were automatically perfect. Ha. Oh, who was that deceived person who told you that one? Amen? If it were true, the apostolic letters would not be telling us what to get rid of. And it has everything in these letters that we're to get rid of. So how many know that being born again is the beginning of a walk with God where Holy Spirit comes in and sanctifies and gets the things out that need to be out. Amen? And when we read his word, the Bible says his word, it pierces between what's of the spirit, what's of the soul. It goes in and it pierces, and his word actually gets in and starts working inside of us so that what we can separate who we are, our personalities, what God put in us from those things that shouldn't be there. Amen? Not a self-help, but a serious understanding. This, I don't agree with this. It has to go. Amen? So he says, we're going to lay aside all malice. So we need to watch before we post something. We need to watch before modern days, the older teachings, you want to hear us say, before you post something. Look, when you post something, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, you're actually saying something. Amen? Amen? So you don't post it with malice. You don't post, I hope this gets to them. I hope everybody sees how lousy they are in this. It's the same thing with, you have to deal with that. So you've got to go say, Lord, is there any malice in my heart? Let's look up the word malice in the dictionary. So this may take a little bit tonight. This is how you read these apostolic letters, amen? This is how you read them. You look at the words that they say to lay aside, and then you make sure you've done that, amen? And you go home before God. He may even give you a dream about where you haven't laid it aside. It can even take, how many knows it could take a little bit more than one time sometimes? Everybody say amen. How many know Satan chooses certain things? He uses generational curses. He uses experiences. He uses the culture. He uses all kinds of things to get this stuff deeply put into us, into our thinking, into our personalities. Why? To make us into his likeness. Amen. And he's done a good job of it, okay? But Holy Spirit, by the word of God and the anointing of God, is going to pull this stuff out of us. Amen? When we agree with the malice. A desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another because of a hostile, impulsive, it could be impulsive or it can be out of a deep-seated meanness. Evil intent. So When something is done in malice, there is an underlying desire in the person who's doing that. There's an underlying desire to injure that person, injure their personality, get their job taken away from them. You see what I'm saying? Something's going on there in malice with the intention. So two people can do the same thing, right? One could have malice and one really could be the same exact action without malice. Amen? Somebody could actually say something with the malice of trying to hurt. Like, so a lot of people are called racist now if you say anything. Well, was there malice? Did that person really say that thing with a sincere intention to injure or hurt somebody or put somebody down? Or did they just say something not thinking of how that might hurt somebody else? Amen? So we need to recognize in our own hearts, when something comes out of your mouth, there's two things. That did it hurt somebody? If the answer is yes, did you intend for it to hurt that person? There's a big difference, right? There's a big difference on if you intended to hurt that person or if it hurt that person. It could hurt that person because maybe they have some wounded areas that anybody saying anything corrective could hurt them. Amen? Or maybe you said it, but your intention wasn't to hurt them, but the enemy twisted it or used it to hurt them, right? So he says, look, lay aside everything in you that wants to injure or hurt somebody else. If you want God to use you to do the hard stuff, not that anybody here does, but how many know that God is looking for people who will do the hard stuff? The kind of stuff Jesus did? The kind of stuff Paul did and Peter did, the kind of stuff where everybody's not going to like you all the time and you're going to have to walk in a love to say some difficult things, amen? And then the first thing the enemy's going to have people usually do is say, they're just, but if you know there's no malice in your heart, you can know you're hearing God, amen? So we need to deal with that. All guile, that is deception. That is twisting things and wiggling things around and it's like if I say something trying to get a response from me, if I say something to manipulate you, if I say something, and how many know we live in a world, a fallen world, where this deception, this guile stuff is really big. This witchcraft manipulation is big, right? So we have to go after our own issues in our heart, and we have to say, Lord, get everything out of me that's doing this with the wrong intention, with the wrong purpose, with the wrong spirit behind it. Hypocrisies. We have to get rid of all. He's talking to believers. Hypocrisy. How many see the unbelievable amount of hypocrisy in American politics these days? It's amazing. Well, God says, quit judging their hypocrisy and get it out of your heart. Get it out of your heart. Let's look up, and you can do a whole word study on hypocrites, and what God calls hypocrites is much more strong than what most of us think. Most of us think it's somebody says one thing and acts another, and that pretty much is what it can mean. But you can be a hypocrite if in one situation you're thinking one way and another situation you're thinking another way. I mean, I'll just use, I'm not asking what political, if you have a political belief or agenda, but with these races now, these elections, if your person lost and they're doing a recount and your person starts winning, then you don't really care why, you're just glad they're winning. But you get all upset if it happens on the other side. Amen? And the truth is, we should be at a place to say, Lord, I really want what you want. And I want it to done without, I want it not to have any hypocrisy. Amen? I mean, if our nation has gone so far away from God and after the Antichrist system, I think we as a church need to know that. So we will know how to pray. So we will get things out of our heart. Amen? It's not okay that we just barely get by. We need to sit and really see what's happening with our children, with our neighbors, in the church. What's really going on? It's not I didn't get caught or I don't care about them anyway. Amen? It's about this heart that wants holiness because God's holy. We need to get rid of all envies. And we have teaching on every one of these subjects in detail. But these are apostolic letters. He's saying to the church, get these things out of your heart. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Deal with malice. Deal with guile. Deal with deceit. Deal with hypocrisies. Deal with envies. Oh, I wish I had what they had. How does envy show up? Rivalry. It could show up not being content with what God has given you and being blessed where you are. Can I just say this for everybody who is a born-again believer, who is not going to keep sinning and really going to get to heaven one day? We're going to have streets of gold. We're going to have mansions. Amen? We're going to have unbelievable amount of food. We're going to have wonderful clothes. We're going to have unbelievable stuff we can't even think of. Amen? Everyone. Okay, everyone. All right? So let's learn to be content with where God's called us here and shine for him. Amen? And if we get favor and if we do things that we're being led to do, then let's not judge each other on that. Let's be excited that God wants to put some people in fancy neighborhoods and he wants some people in neighborhoods that aren't fancy. You don't have to go overseas to go to an area where the people don't have a lot of money. Amen? You don't have to go to the Middle East to go where it's dangerous. Amen? I mean, you need to go where God wants you to go. And part of that is the gift package he's given you and what you feel led and do and want to do. Amen? Amen? So envy's going to stop that. Envy, I want this, I want that, I want this. Why do they have this? Envy has the lie that because somebody else has something, you can't have it. And it causes you to compare yourself. Instead of just, what did the Bible say? Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have. Give. Give from what you have. Take care of what you have. And then God's the one who chooses to give increase. Amen? All right. As newborn babies, desire the pure soul-nourishing milk that you may grow by it. And what he's saying there, look, he says, get rid of all this manipulation, control, malice, envies, all this junk that comes in with you when you get born again, that's already there, that perverts the word of God, perverts vision, perverts dreams, it can pervert everything, try to manipulate, control, mess with everything, amen? Put it aside, get rid of it, and desire God's word as much as a tiny baby desires its mother's milk. Now, how many know, we got a lot of moms in here these days and moms with babies and moms with 1 year old. How many know when that baby's hungry, whether you're doing the all natural way of doing this or you're doing the formula way of doing this, how many know that baby, when it's a new babe, isn't really thinking, wow, I wish this had more chocolate in it, or I wish this, you know, I feel more like pizza tonight, thank you. And how many know the more we taste, the more we get picky. Amen? But what he's saying, as a newborn baby, don't think like that. Read the word, love the word, devour the word, be nourished by the word, and it says here, and grow by the word of God. Grow by the word of God. Amen? If indeed you tasted that the Lord is good. I want you to see something with this. He's basically saying, for this to be real, for this to not be a fear-based reading of the word, for this not to be a fear-based trying to be good or trying to change, there comes this tasting of the Lord and knowing that he's good. That actually reveals to me that what I have with God is real. Because people have a hard time, if they're doing it all intellectually, fear-based, they don't even see the difference in someone who's tasted that the Lord is good and is doing this love-based and faith-based. Amen? Amen? And the two can look alike. So he puts this description in there to let us know If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good, do you really get how good he is? Do you really understand how much he loves you, how awesome it is to feel his presence, how wonderful it is to be part of his kingdom? And if you can't say yes to that, you need to really go and get some ministry in your groups or whatever. You need a breakthrough into the goodness of God. Amen? Because otherwise you're doing everything fear-based and rule-based and legalistically, and that doesn't work. Amen? Like when I sit in the presence of God, or all day long, I just love God. I'm not making this up. I seriously tell God I love him so many times a day, it's not funny. I mean, it's just like, God, I just love you. I'll just be cleaning my house like, Lord, I just love you. A deer will walk across the yard. God, that is so cool. You're so awesome. I just love you. Amen? Because as you start to get in his word and you grow by it, and you put these other things away, amen, you're going to begin to taste how good he is. And then your whole motivation for what you're doing in the kingdom with God and through God for his glory, amen, is going to be this awesome ride of loving God. And it's not going to be about proving something about yourself. Amen. And that's where you taste how good he is, and you're no longer doing it based on fear and low self-esteem and trying to prove something. You're actually doing it because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been forgiven of sin. Old things have passed away, and now you and God are enjoying a relationship. You know, Sunday morning we're teaching on Ephesians, and so you can get that teaching, but the thing that just kept coming up, I don't ever try to come up with themes, just so you know it. We never know what we're going to call this till after we do it. And then it seems like when I start preaching, God gives me a theme. Amen. How many know I can re-preach the same scripture next week and have a whole different message, but it's all true? Amen. That's why I'm like, why do people need anything but the Bible? But so it was about participating in relationship. You need to participate in your relationship with God. You need to participate in your relationship with God. Are you participating in your relationship with God? And if you're like, wow, I don't know what that would look like, then you're not. I participate in my relationship with God when I talk to him, when I see the deer out in the yard, when I'm going through a rough time sometimes, believe it or not. And I'm like, Lord, show me what's going on. Help. It's participating with him in a real relationship. Lord, I want you, for real, to show me what's going on in my heart, that I have no grace for what's happening right now in my life. You know, Lord, help me right now to see why I'm feeling grieved in my spirit. Help me right now. Lift me back up, you know, to soar with you from all the things that I've just seen, you know, with what's going on in our nation, amen? You got to get real in this relationship. You got to participate in this relationship with God, amen? And then you're going to taste and see how good he is. He says, to whom having drawn near, a living stone indeed. So he wants, we're going to draw near. We are going to draw near to this living stone. He's been rejected by men, but chosen by God. He's precious. The reason God uses the word living stone here is because God is building something. Amen? God is building something. He's building his church. His church is made of living stones with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Jesus Christ showed us without questions, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to let us see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I encourage everybody to read the Gospels, you know, at least some every month. Lord, show me Jesus again. Let me see a good picture of Jesus again. Reveal him to me from the word again. Make it real to me, Holy Spirit. He is the living stone. Amen? He is the cornerstone. In other words, he's the foundation of everything that I'm going to be built to look like. I'm going to be built by the Holy Spirit to be part of this thing called the church, which is not a building or a program. It's God's people, supernatural, being put in place by God for what he wants to do to glorify himself. Amen? And Jesus is the living stone. He's the example of that. He was rejected by men, but God chose him and called him precious. Amen? You also, who? Say, I. Say, I'm a living stone.
I'm a living
Woo! I'm a living stone being built a spiritual house. Say it. I'm a living stone being built into a spiritual house. Well, that's one of your identities according to God's word, right? He says Jesus is the living stone that we're to look at, to see, to base everything on. He's our example. He's what holds us all together. Everything is in him and through him. But we are, every one of us, not just people on the mission field, not just people preaching in the pulpit, not just people writing books or conferences. Every single born-again believer, whoa, has Holy Spirit in them, and he's making you a living stone to be fitted together for his purposes, for what he's doing in this day and season. Amen? Every one of us. So we need to get rid of this thinking of ministry versus non-ministry jobs. Amen? A living stone is wherever he puts it. It's going to do what he wants. It's going to know how to pray. It's going to know how to intercede. It's going to know how to do... He's making you a spiritual house. Think about it. Think about, you know, the whole world. Everybody's at their jobs. Everybody's at their driving. Everybody's everywhere. And God is seeing this gorgeous spiritual house he's building. It's like wherever you are, whatever's going on, just erase everything else but all the believers. And you're going to see this beautiful picture of the spiritual house that is surrounding everything. It's surrounding the workplace, it's surrounding the schools, the politicians, it's surrounding nations, right? And so God's saying, this is what I'm building. You don't even know where I'm going to place you as a living stone. Just let me build you. Amen? He's building us to be a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We've talked about this. Men, you are not the priest of your home. Everybody get upset. How do you know? Because it's not in the Bible. Amen? It's not in the Bible. But we are all priests and kings unto the Lord. God's building a holy priesthood. Let me tell you, I had this really good revelation about that. I was talking to someone whose wife, and they're very powerful in God and very anointed, love God, totally sold out. And their wife is just sick and doesn't seem to get well. And they don't understand why their prayers for their wife don't work. And then the Lord showed me, if you don't recognize that she's a co-heir in the things of God, your prayers are hindered. So if you think you're her priest and she's not a priest unto the Lord, you just hindered your prayers. It hinders your prayers. No wonder men's prayers are so hindered. They buy into doctrine that hinders their prayers. Then they got wives buying into doctrine saying, why isn't he the spiritual priest? Why isn't he doing this? Nothing's happening in their house but a big mess. Because she's looking to him to be something God hasn't called him to be. And he's looking at her like she's not who God has called her to be. We are all a holy priesthood. We are all living stones. We are all being built by God to be his church. Whoa. Amen? And I got an awesome teaching on marriage and the whole thing. And if you come along for the ride for Ephesians, we're really going to get more into the husband and wife and how all that works. But there is some really oppressive, wrong doctrine out there that has made the church so weak. And marriage is so bad in the church. You also, as living stones, are being built a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Here's what we do as a holy priesthood. We offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, which means through Jesus Christ, I'm going to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, I'm going to be praying for the nation. Through Jesus Christ, I'm going to be praying for my family. Through Jesus Christ, I'm going to be praying for this local church. Through Jesus Christ, I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be worshiping. I'm going to be hanging out with God and singing to God. I'm going to be a priest before the Lord. Amen? And I'm going to offer sacrifices that God's going to find pleasing. Amen? I'm going to if he says, spend time doing this, go talk to these people, let's do this. I see all of that as part of my spiritual sacrifice. Amen? My life does not belong to me. My life belongs to the Lord. No matter where you are, what you're doing, you're still being built. We're all being built to these living stones. So if he has you being built at a bank that you work at, or, you know, at a school system you work in, or in your home every day, it doesn't matter. He's doing the same thing in all of us. Amen? Because of this, it is contained in the scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion an elect precious stone, a corner foundation, and the ones believing in him shall not be ashamed, never." Do you want to never be ashamed? Amen? Then you need to believe in God. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to ask him what to do and how to do it. I'll give one of my humbling little stories that just happened. Okay, this is kind of embarrassing. I bought this thing for the camera for doing video. And on the instruction, the first thing it said was a big red line through taking this one screw out of the middle. And they even had this orange tag on "don't remove the screw," but I didn't see it. So here I am with my toolkit. And it looked like the screw you ought to take out to put this other thing in. So I took it out. And then I noticed I couldn't find the little thing under it was wiggling around. I couldn't find to put the screws in. And I'm doing all this stuff and they're not going into anything. So I'm like, what is wrong with this thing? So then I try to read the instructions again and again. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't supposed to take that screw out. Obviously, they've had trouble with this to put stickers and all on it. What happens when normally if you take a screw out of something, nothing happens. Well, maybe it falls apart, but you don't lose where it's at, where you can't even find where to put the stuff in. So obviously, that was the issue. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing was a couple hundred bucks. Now, I can't even fix it because you'd have to open it up to fix it and everything. So I sent it back. And I looked, I didn't want to lie, I wanted to see. It said, was it broken or any missing pieces? Well, it was broken. Now. It didn't say, did you break it? It just said, why don't you want this? All right. So I went, and I spent a lot of money with this company, so it wasn't a big deal. So I sent it back. Well, the day, and I was kind of feeling a little bad about it. Like, you know, maybe I should have explained a little bit better, like, why it was broken. So the next day, my hot tub that I really like started leaking water. And the first thing that hit me was, were you really honest about the thing you sent back? So I wrote them a letter. And I said, I want you to know it's broken because I took that screw out because I didn't see the little red tag that said not to do that. And they wrote me back the nicest letter and said, no problem, we'll take care of it. And, you know, we're still going to give you your refund. Well, then when I finally talked to the person, now listen about this about the hot tub. The warranty was 1 year from the day you bought it, not from the day you got it, which to me doesn't seem right, right? So I bought it 11/09. This started happening about 11/07, a year later this year. But because we've been so busy, we didn't check on it, and John didn't check to see what it was until 11/11. Isn't that a bummer? I know, I'm like, oh. So I finally talked to the guy, and thank God it was only a $35 piece, and one good thing being married to engineers, not that they'll always do it right away, but I know he knows how to put this little thing in. The guy's like, you could even do this. I'm like, I don't. Then I said, well, what do I need? He goes, a Phillips screwdriver. I said, well, what do they look like? He goes, never mind, get your husband to do this. Let's just let your husband do this. Just not touch anything, lady, just let your husband do this. But also instructions. But here's the thing. But he said, I'm going to see if I can get you, if we'll just send that, since it really did break before the year. Plus, this is an expensive spa. You don't expect it to break the week of the year. You know what I'm saying? You're like, ah. Oh. But my brain is thinking, oh my gosh, what if this is a major thing and you can't even buy the part anymore and I love mice. This is the time you like being in the hot tub, all this stuff. I know, terrible problems, right? But here's the thing. I knew right away I need to get this thing right because look what's broken here. And then the heater over there broke. And this, I'm like, it's not worth it. Amen? Forget it. It's not worth it. So I said all that because I don't want any guile. Amen. It also says back there to get rid of all evil words. I've missed that one so that... Get rid of evil words. If it's an evil word, a word that God wouldn't say, a word you wouldn't say in heaven, get it out of your vocabulary, get it out of your thinking, all right? But going back down. So Jesus Christ is a precious stone. He's the foundation. Now this is, everyone who believes in him shall not be ashamed, never. And I say that because God's going to take care of things. You can repent and say, okay, God, I should have given an explanation. It was broken. It was one of the selections. But I didn't say why it was broken. Okay? And so I went back and said why it was broken. And I'm willing. If I've got to eat the price of it, I'll eat the price of it, whatever. I knew I couldn't fix it and they could. If they want to send it back fixed and I don't need it because we actually already had one, I didn't realize when I got it, it was the same thing, something I had. But whatever, I don't care. $200 doesn't matter that much. Amen? $2,000 doesn't matter. $20,000 doesn't matter that much when it comes to being where God wants you to be. Amen? And that's this idea of holy and doing what the Lord wants. I'm also giving you day-to-day life stories of real life. This thing goes on for the rest of your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. He goes on. To you who believe belongs the preciousness. What on earth? Let's see what that is in Amplified. Preciousness is such a cute word. The precious value then is for you who believe. Let's think of precious. That's just like too precious of a word. How many? We don't use that word much anymore. It says precious. All right, let's see what it means. One of great value. One of the highest esteem and honor. We think of precious as like precious moments. Isn't that precious kitten? You know what I'm saying? But the actual word for it is high honor, great esteem, great dignity, a high price, very, very valuable. Amen? So then to you who believe, there belongs this great preciousness. We get to have this esteem in our relationship with God. We get to have this honor in our relationship with God. All of our esteem and honor should come from knowing that I belong to Jesus Christ. What value? What value do I have because of the value that he has? Amen? But to disobeying ones, he is a stone that the building rejected. He was the one who became the head of the corner, but people rejected him. He's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to the one stumbling, being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. In other words, once you have a revelation of Jesus, if you reject him, if you reject his word and his truth, and how many know we live in a society and a culture that's doing that every day? All of a sudden, God's word and his ways are going to cause you to stumble. They're going to cause you to be offended. It's going to be in your face all the time because it's meant to be. We were born to decide if we want to belong to God. And then we are born to be changed into his likeness and desire to obey him. Amen? And anyone on the whole planet who doesn't want to be his and go along with his plan, he's going to constantly be offending them and something they're going to stumble over. Amen? That's why we choose to do things the way God wants us to do things. It really floors the world when you don't act like them. That's why you have to be careful in things like politics and where there's a lot of antagonism and some of the things you see on Facebook and different things, that you don't become so overwhelmed with fear, so overwhelmed with logic, so overwhelmed with what's happening and not happening. And you've got to stay in that place of, Lord, what are we going to do? How do you want to do this? What do you want me to do? What are we supposed to be doing right now? Amen? All right. Here we go. But you, say, but I. I'm an elect race. I'm an elect race. You would say, what's your race, elect? From now on, when they put that on that little paper, where you say your race, and it puts other, hit other and put elect. A pity for ashes, we're all one race. We're the elect race. When everybody, that's Bible, but everybody be ticked off. Who do you think you are? We think we're the elect race. Well, we look at you and you look like a mixture. Well, wait, you can say we look like whatever you want. We are an elect race. What's your, boy, I like this. From now on, I'm an elect race. I think I'm going to start putting that on there. Wouldn't you like to see some of those people scratch their, nowadays you can be anything you want according to our culture. So if I want to be the elect race, I can, amen? But God says I am. But you are, say, I am an elect race. Which means God has chosen me out of all the world and elected me to be his race. What race was God? I always thought he was Jewish. Nope, he's the elect race. He's the elect race. I'm a royal priesthood. Do you know what that means? That means I am a priest to royalty. I am someone who ministers and sacrifices and lives my life for royalty. I am a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. Whew. What nation do you belong to? I'm the elect race of a holy nation. Boy, we're going to have really fun when we fill those things out. I don't know if we'll get passports anymore, but so, what nation are you? Holy. Well, what race are you? Elect. It's all in 1 Peter 2:9. Amen. You know what, that we laugh about this, but how about if we really start getting our identity here? Why don't we recognize that we are a chosen people, that we have been called out by God to be, according to him, an elect race and a holy nation. Oh, I love this part. We are a people for his possession. We are people for his possession. We know a lot of people are demon possessed, right? Because they're all being, the enemy's trespassing. You were created for God to possess you. What does it mean to be possessed? It means I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. True Holy Spirit possession means, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do it? When do you want to do it? How do you want to do it? Let's do it. Amen? And it's sincere. It's a sincere. Well, is that going to take away? That's not going to take any away from you. It's going to give you everything. It's going to give you the perfect. It's going to give you a marriage that God's in. It's going to give you parenting gifting that God has. Amen. It's going to give you a career advantage over everyone else. Amen. It's going to give you favor in situations where it seems impossible. Amen. Possession means he owns me. Amen? Well, nobody owns me. Well, when nobody owns you, the devil owns you. But when you recognize that God owns me, he paid for me with his blood, and I'm his, and I like that. I like belonging to God. I like that God is my master. Amen? I like that. I like that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Master. I love it that I go to him and I say, hey, God, help. Can I have some favor? Please. I'm going to tell you another wild story. I know if I don't believe my stories, that's okay. I have enough proof of really major miracles that these little miracles, I just tell you because I like to tell you what God's doing. This is no kidding. I wear glasses for night just to drive home. That's the only time I wear. I don't have to wear them, but they help with eye strain. So I don't like buying them much because I hardly ever wear them. I mean, if I watch a movie real long or drive home at night, that's the only time I wear them. So they're always in my car or somewhere, but we've been traveling a lot of different things. So when Pastor Fred came a couple weeks ago, last week or whatever, I could not find them. So I have an old pair in there that they're not really that old, but the thing is, the one side's off and you can't fix it, which is kind of embarrassing, you know, but anyhow. But so I'm wearing these. I'm thinking, okay, I've got to find my real glasses. I looked everywhere, you guys. I looked everywhere. I looked in every purse. For me, that took a while. I took everyone out. I looked in a bag. I looked in John's truck because we went out to eat one night. I remember having them. I looked in my car. I took everything out of my car. I looked in that little console thing. That's where they normally are. I took everything out, put my hand around, put a flashlight in there, everywhere. I could not find them. I was going on a whole week. I asked Karen to look in her car. I hadn't had a chance. I'm like, God, where are those glasses? I hardly ever wear them, so they're almost always just in the car. I'm like, where are they? Where are they? So finally, I was walking on my stairs the day before yesterday, and I said, God, you know right where those glasses are. I don't want to go spend $300 for a pair of glasses that I hardly ever wear when I have a pair that are fine. I don't care. Would you please, please send an angel to find those glasses and please put them where I'll find them. Amen. I've watched them do this so many times. I'm promising you, I'm telling you the truth. When I got in the car the next morning, I had this really strong thought, look in the council. And I'm thinking, they're not in there. I've looked in there twice or three times. I took everything out. I put my hand in there. I wiggle it around, and there they are. Okay, you can think what you want. I don't care. I have enough miracles. I don't need to make stuff up. I'm going to tell you, I took every single thing out of that council, every single thing twice, felt all around, put the little flashlight in there, and I did not see these glasses. And then I pray, and I ask God to please put them where I would find them, and there they are. How many know God cares about everything we care about? How many know he doesn't want us to waste money and time? How many know that he's that kind of a God? You know, we want to wait till it's the big, horrible thing. Can I tell you something? If you would begin to have faith for the little, everyday things, the big, horrible thing won't be so big and horrible. Amen? I just look at all the miracles that we live every day, and that is normal Christianity, and it's time for us to become normal Christians who are possessed by God. Amen? His possession. And I know some people, they wouldn't have the money to go buy new glasses. I think we had insurance, I'd have got them free. Well, I won't say free, we pay every month, but I wouldn't have had to pay. I didn't care, I didn't want to go sit in the eye doctor. I didn't need another pair, I just wanted those. Amen? How much more for those who really need them? How much more for those who don't have insurance? Amen? Can we make this the year where we get this? Where we live this? Where we believe this, where our faith grows so big, so fast, that we amaze everybody. Amen? Because we're his people for possession. Listen, look at the next part. So he wants you to be this elect race, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may openly speak of his virtues, of the one who has called you out of darkness into his light. What did I just do? I didn't mean to, but I openly just demonstrated what he's saying. He's saying, if you would get in this and you would understand this and you would live in this and this would be real for you, you won't be able to shut up about God. You won't have to try to come up with a little thing on a piece of paper to read to somebody to get them saved. If you got to pull out a piece of paper and read it, I'm going to have a hard time believing you. Amen? But if somebody just comes up, you cannot convince me he's not real because I know him. You will never convince me. Every day that I pet my little dog and I love my little dog, I got the sweetest little dog. And she was supposed to be dead last year. She would have been dead last year. Except God healed my dog. Do you not think that God won't heal you? He healed my dog. He's not a respecter of persons, but he is moved by faith. God is moved by faith. Faith moves mountains, people. Amen. I just sit there and think of the things that God has done for me because of faith. And my heart is, why don't we as believers all get faith? Why don't we die to doing this our own way in our own self and actually start living this? And you just step out. You step out and get this faith. So that you will openly speak of the virtues of the one who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You who then were not a people, but now are the people of God, the one not pitied, but now pitied or have compassion on. Beloved, I exhort you as pilgrims and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. We're going to stop right there. Somebody write, so we know next week. We'll start at 1 Peter 2:11. God has called us to be his people. Is there any greater identity than that? Amen? Is there any greater thing that you could say about your life than that you are completely possessed by God? When I sit in his presence, like I was telling you, I listen to the Bible, the Word of Promise Bible. I really like that one. And I play the scriptures, and I did this. And I said, God, I literally feel his presence from my head to my toes. That doesn't happen right the minute you get saved. That happens after you start to walk this out and live in this and move in faith and not fear and not try to prove anything. And you don't need that to know that he's real. It's just part of being possessed by him. Amen. It's just part of knowing him. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. But if I take that over his word, I'm going to get off track. Amen. But if I take that in his word, that he's going to keep filling me up and filling me up and filling me up with his presence. He's so real. If he's not that real for you, quit acting like there's something wrong with you and start telling the devil to bow his knee to the name of Jesus Christ, because you are a possession of God. You need to take these scriptures and war with them. Amen. You need to take these scriptures and you need to say them out loud. You need to declare them over your homes, not with the head, but with the heart. God, I thank you that my children are going to be your possession. Whoa. I thank you for that. I believe that. It's going to happen fully, Lord God. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we are a holy nation. My house is made up of holy nation people. Amen. I thank you, God, that it's real. I thank you, God, that because of these things, we are going to speak of your virtues. We're going to talk about you. I thank you, my sons are going to talk about you. My daughter-in-laws are going to talk about you. My husband's going to talk about you. Everybody, my dog, if she could talk, would talk about you. God, we are all going to talk about you because we know you. We are not going to be a people who settle for religion. Amen. And good works. We are going to be a people who recognize how powerful this gospel is, how awesome this is, that we are called by God to set aside the things of the flesh, the things of garbage, all this junk, and enter into the identity of who he says that we are. Amen. And we're going to walk it. We're going to live it. We're going to obey him and live in that. Amen. Amen. So Father, we thank you. And we just give you praise for all that you're doing, all that you're doing in our hearts. Lord, let our focus be on you and not ourselves. Let our focus be on you. If you be lifted up, all people will be drawn, Jesus. Father God, that we do not need to stay as the God of our own life, which is actually putting the enemy in charge. But you are our Father. You are our God. We are your holy nation. We are your elect people. We are your possession. Make this so real for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.